بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين فخذيه أضمن له الجنة، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. My most honorable mothers, respective sisters, and dear daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered upon us many, many favors. Some favors we recognize, others due to our negligence. We fail to recognize. Our existence from nothing is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has included us amongst the humans. This is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with iman. This is again a very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has granted us the opportunity to be part of the ummah of His most beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, a very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has granted us so many material and spiritual favors. And these favors are so many that we cannot enumerate them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to enumerate the favors that lie within one favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, the eyes, or the tongue, or the ears, or the hands, or the feet, over the brain. Just one favor, if you look deeply and if you try to analyze that favor, then the innumerable favors that lie within only one favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to count these favors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being Rahim, Rahman, Kareem, the most merciful, the most compassionate, the most generous, Ghafoor, the most forgiving, Rabb, the cherisher, Khaliq, the creator, has granted us so many favors, many, many, many favors. So many favors that we are unable to fulfill the right of being grateful to Him. It is impossible for one to fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command of being grateful to Him. Because the favors are so many that it is impossible for one to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors. Because every second of his life, every minute of his life, the person is enjoying not a few favors or not dozens of favors, but the person is enjoying thousands of favors, millions of favors, billions of favors at one time. We do not realize these favors or the quantity of these favors because we fail to understand them, we fail to recognize them. When a person comes nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he acquires the wilayah, the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ma'rifah, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person realizes how many favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him. Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sulaiman alayhi salam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole family of Dawud alayhi salam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out the act of shukr, the act of being grateful to Allah. I'badu ala Dawud shukra. Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam went into prostration. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the eminent prophets. You cannot imagine with which words he may have praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he completed his shukr, when he completed the act of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he thought to himself that being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carrying out the act of shukr commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors that he had granted me is a favor in itself. So this act of shukr, this amal of shukr, this act of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this fresh favor. So he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he started praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again and he said, "Oh Allah, I am very grateful to you for giving me the tawfiq, giving me the opportunity, granting me the guidance to be grateful to you, to carry out the act of shukr for all the favors that you had given me." When he completed this shukr a second time, he realized that this shukr for the second time was also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, "Oh Allah, you gave me the tawfiq and the guidance to be grateful to you for all the favors you had granted me, and that was a favor in itself, and then you gave me the tawfiq and the understanding and the guidance to be grateful to you a second time, that is also your favor. So I need to be grateful to you for this favor. So he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, oh Allah, I am being grateful to you for giving me the tawfiq, for granting me the tawfiq to be grateful to you for the favor of shukr. When he completed this shukr a third time, he realized that this is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he realized that this will continue until I breathe my last. Because I will continue thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will continue carrying out the shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this favor that He is granting me of being grateful to Him for the tawfiq to carry out the shukr for His favors. So he went into prostration and he said, oh Allah, I cannot carry out this duty and I cannot be grateful to you as you are worthy of my gratefulness. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that al-ana shakartani ya Dawood. Oh Dawood, when you realized that you cannot be grateful to me as I am worthy, and you cannot praise me as I am worthy of your praise, that is the time when you have in reality completed and fulfilled the obligation of being grateful to me. So the point I'm trying to emphasize is that we are enjoying so many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hundreds and of thousands of favors, that we cannot thank Him as He is worthy of thanks. We cannot be grateful to Him as He is worthy of being grateful. We cannot fulfill His rights as far as being grateful to Him is concerned. So the first point I would like to emphasize is that what we need to do, my mothers, my sisters, my daughters, is to check our lives, look at our lives, and try to understand the hundreds and the dozens of favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. When we fail to recognize the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we become despondent, we become unhappy, we become depressed very quickly when we are struck with a small calamity, a very minor grief. And that grief is also a means of our sins being forgiven, nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being acquired, our status being elevated in Jannah. So this grief is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any grief, any calamity, any problem that brings one nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that brings elevation of status in Jannah, or that is the means of our sins being forgiven, is a very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, Sahibul humma shaheed. When a person is struck with fever and he departs from this world due to that fever, then on the day of Qiyamah, this person will be resurrected as a shaheed, as a martyr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes us with small illnesses, illnesses like fever, and that becomes the cause of our death. We were going to depart from this world at that precise moment anyway, because our lifespan has been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before even we were born. So when we die when we are supposed to die. The cancer doesn't kill us, fever doesn't kill us, any other illness doesn't kill us, accident doesn't kill us. These are only causes. So we depart from this world when we are supposed to depart, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes fever the cause of our departure from this world, and this fever becomes the means of our acquiring the great status of martyrdom, and this martyrdom, this shahada, saves us from the fire of Jahannam, and we are granted Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I test my servant by taking away his eyesight, a person enjoys the ni'mat of his eyes until he is 60, until he is 65, until he is 70. And in the last stages of his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away his eyesight. We see many people who in their old age lose their eyesight. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I take away the eyes of my servant, the noor of his eyes in his old age, and then I grant him the tawfiq to be patient. So I take away his eyes, I grant him the tawfiq to be patient, so he practices patience, and this patience of 6 months or 1 year or 2 years or 3 years will make him deserving of my Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when I take away the eyesight of my servant and he practices patience, then I reward him with Jannah in the hereafter. Now imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting us eyes, so they were not ours anyway. It was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to benefit from this favor of Allah until we were 60, until we were 70, until we were 50. And just before our departure from this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the noor from our eyes. We become blind, and for 6 months, 2 months, 1 year, we are again granted the tawfiq to practice patience, to do sabr. And through this sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us Jannah. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when a thorn pricks a person in his foot, then due to that pricking of the thorn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him one reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his one sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates his one status in Jannah. When in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when a child passes away in infancy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the parents the tawfiq to do sabr. Sisters, we must realize that when we are granted the tawfiq to perform any good amal, any good deed, any good characteristic that we find within ourselves, any good quality that we find within ourselves, it is only through the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not feel proud. We should not attribute that quality to ourselves. We should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, this is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam said, upon viewing all the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not say, this is because of my hard work, or this is because of my endeavors. He said, Hada min fadli rabbi. This is only through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to leave Medina Munawwara for any expedition, and when he used to return with success, he used to say, لا إله إلا الله وحده ونصر عبده وأنجز وعده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. And he repeated these same words at the liberation of Makkah Mukarramah. The liberation of Makkah Mukarramah was a triumph for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims. But he did not attribute anything towards himself, that this was my strategy, or this was my planning, or I left Makkah Mukarrama, I came to Medina Munawwara, I organized all the Muslims, it was my political move that made the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama possible within years. No, he did not say that. He said, La ilaha illallah wahda. This has happened only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only He who helped me, it is only He who fulfilled His promise, and it is only He who removed all the obstacles, and it is only He who defeated the enemies. So we must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are not able to carry out anything good. We are not able to carry out any amal, and we are not able to abstain from any disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without His will. We say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And we should constantly read this zikr taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله كنز من كنوز الجنة. This phrase, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. This is very, very beneficial from the spiritual aspect of our lives. This is very beneficial in the hereafter as well. And this is the ending portion of the third kalima. We are constantly reminded by our elders, by our mashayikh, to read this third kalima daily 100 times. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. So this last portion of this third kalima is kanzum min kunuzil jannah. It is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. And regarding the third kalima, in the night of Mi'raj, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam met Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam sent a message to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam said is, oh my son Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you return back to your ummah, convey my salam to your ummah. Alayhi salam, alayhi salatu wa salam. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. How kind he was and how affectionate he was towards the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how fortunate we are that because of our connection with our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, a great messenger of Allah, the like of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, who is the khalil of Allah, wattakhadullahu Ibrahim khalila, who is the friend of Allah, conveys his salam upon us. And that salam remains in the ahadith, and it will remain until the day of Qiyamah. Ibrahim alayhi salam conveys the salam, and it is conveyed to the ummah through the most beloved of the prophets, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam said that, convey my salam to your ummah, may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower him with blessings, and may Allah elevate his status, and may Allah ta'ala grant us his company in the akhirah, on the day of Qiyamah, and in Jannatul Firdaus. So he said, convey my salam to your ummah and tell them that Jannah is a barren land. It is empty. There are no trees. There is no garden. It is empty. And subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, this is the tree of Jannah. So when a person will recite third kalima once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will plant one tree in Jannah for him. When he recites this kalima twice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him two trees in Jannah. When he recites the kalima third time, Allah will grant him three trees in Jannah. So it is up to the ummati how many times he wishes to recite the third kalima, and how many trees he wants in Jannah, and what type of a garden he wants in Jannah. So I was saying that the final portion of this kalima, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, in it, this is what we emphasize, la hawla. We have no power, we have no authority to do any good. Wala quwwata, and we have no power, and we have no authority to abstain from any evil, illa billah. But through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only through His tawfiq, only through His help that we are able to do good. So we must make sure that we do not attribute any good quality towards ourselves. And any evil that we see within ourselves, or any good deed that we are deprived of, then we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for His help, and say to Him that, oh Allah, whatever good I have, or the good that I do not have and I want, or the evil that is in me and I want it removed, it can only happen through your help. So please Allah grant me, oh Allah grant me, oh Allah grant me. Ask Him over and over again for ikhlas, sincerity, for generosity, for being able to remember Him at all times with heart and mind, for being able to be very polite, for being able to carry out all the manners and the characters that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught, to be able to perform salat the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, to be able to live according to the wishes of the Creator. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I was saying was that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who grants us the tawfiq to carry out good qualities. So in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away a child in its infancy, the parents are grieved, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them the tawfiq to practice patience. And they both say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will also return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will inshallah meet our child in Jannah. And they are patient, and they reflect upon the other virtues mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a child passes away in its infancy, then on the day of Qiyamah, this child will become the means of both parents entering into Jannah. This child will intercede for the parents, and the child will say, Oh Allah, I am ma'asum, I am immune from sin, and Jannah is guaranteed for me. But if my parents are going in the fire of hell, what is the point of me going into Jannah? So I want my parents' company. I have been separated from them for a very long time. So either I will join them in the fire of Jahannam, or they will join me in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very just. So He will not enter the child in Jahannam, but rather He will order the angels to grant entry to the parents into Jannah with the child. So look at the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even in the form of calamities, there are favors. So these two, the father and the mother, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they say, Alhamdulillah, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is for our goodness, and we should not complain, because Allah is wise, and whatever He does is full of hikmah, full of wisdom. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. They do not complain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the angels that you kabastum samarata fu'adihi, you have brought the peace of their heart. This child was a peace of their heart. It was very dear to them, the mother and the father. What did they both say? So the angels say, Oh Allah, they said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and they are saying, Alhamdulillah. But whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is for our goodness only. And we are happy with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then for them build a palace in Jannah immediately. And the name of this palace should be Baytul Hamd, the palace of praise, the palace of Hamd, because they are praising. So the point that I'm trying to emphasize, my sisters, is that we are drowning in favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But shaitan makes us neglectful of realizing these favors, and shaitan will always point our direction towards any calamity or grief that we are experiencing. And we will begin to complain, and we will say, Oh, Allah is doing this with me, Allah is doing this with me, Allah is doing this with me, I haven't got this, I haven't got this, I wish I had this, I wanted this, why wasn't I given this? We do not look at the positive sides of our lives. And according to some ahadith, we find that shaitan strikes especially the women folk through this path. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَكْفُرْنَ بِاللَّهِ وَيَكْفُرْنَ الْعَشِيرِ, that the ladies become very ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they become very ungrateful to the husband. So, although the shaitan strikes men through this path as well and leads them towards the fire of Jahannam, but the ladies, according to the hadith, become the victim of this more quicker and more often. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized that the ladies should be very, very careful in this regard. The men need to be very careful in this regard also. The men and ladies both need to be very careful. But because shaitan chooses this avenue especially to mislead the ladies need to be more careful in this regard. The act of being ungrateful. Look at all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, my mothers? What hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, my sisters? What hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, my daughters? He has granted you the wealth of iman. He has granted you the wealth of knowledge. He has granted you the tawfiq to perform salat. He has granted you a husband, a good husband. He has granted you children. He has granted you home. Why don't you look around thousands of people who are suffering throughout the world? They barely have any amenities. They are deprived of the bare necessities of life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind to us, all of us. And whenever we experience a small difficulty, we begin to complain. We should not complain. We should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should say, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. My complaint is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to remove my difficulty. I will not mention this to anybody else. Whenever somebody says anything to me, asks anything to me, I will say, Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first people to enter Jannah will be those people who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in not only the times of happiness but in times of difficulties. When they undergo difficulties, they say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, I am looking at all the good favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me. The thousands of favors, the millions of favors. If we have a toothache, then we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Oh Allah, remove this pain. But at the same time, I am grateful to you that only one tooth is suffering and the other 31 are healthy. If a particular limb or a particular organ is suffering, then we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Oh Allah, there are so dozens of organs and limbs in my body. There are hundreds of joints in my body. And only one limb is suffering. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Those people who practice patience, they are also the close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is a higher category. Those people who say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Oh Allah, there could have been a greater calamity than this. But you did not strike me with that calamity. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. I am happy with your decision, with whatever you are. Those people who reach this stage are those who are pure and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not removing their sins through this difficulty, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is elevating their status through these calamities. So sisters, all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are upon us, look at those favors, study those favors, analyze those favors, and that will create the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart also. And this is one way of creating the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many sisters write to me, many sisters ask me, many brothers also ask me, what is the best method of creating the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts? One very easy method is to sit down daily for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for 15 minutes, whatever you can spare. Even 5 minutes is enough, even 2 minutes is enough. And start pondering on just one favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any favor that comes in your mind. If you have a very good husband, just ponder over that aspect of your life, that how grateful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards me, that despite my many disobediences, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me such a loving and caring husband. If Allah has given us a very good child, then just think about that aspect, that despite all my disobediences, Allah is so kind to me that He has given me such a nice child, such a pious child. Think about the wealth that Allah has granted you. Think about the health, think about the eyes, think about the tongue, think about the nose, think about the oxygen, think about anything, any favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ponder over it. Whenever a person thinks about favors that somebody has given to that person, then automatically the love is created in the heart. So let us think about the favors that Allah has granted us. And whenever we are struck with the calamity, let us think positively that this is a temporary world. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also struck with many calamities, his daughters, his sahaba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا عَجَّلَ لَهُ الْعُقُوبَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to grant goodness in this world and the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes them with calamities in this world, so there is no calamity for them in the hereafter. So be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily, think about the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one very important aspect of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we think with our heart and mind that I have been granted this only through the fadl of Allah, without my being deserving of it. And whilst proclaiming the same with the tongue, it is important that we carry out all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we abstain from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we are struck with calamity, we should not complain to anybody. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove that difficulty. And use and utilize lawful means to get that difficulty removed. But do not be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not be ungrateful. Why is Allah doing this? What have I done to deserve this? Why is it that Allah doesn't look at me with mercy? He is looking at you with mercy. It is only that you are not looking at the favors that He has granted you. You are only looking at that one part and one aspect of your life. If my sisters are able to carry out this act of shukr and this act of sabr, inshallah, the act of shukr and this act of sabr will take you in Jannah. I will just narrate a small incident of a couple. One very beautiful lady was married to someone who was not handsome at all. You can say he was ugly. So the husband was ugly and the lady was very beautiful and very pretty. They were married and they were living very, very happily. One day, the wife was sitting with the husband and they were enjoying their life. They were talking very happily and the wife said, Inshallah, both of us will be together in Jannah. So the husband said that, what makes you so sure that both of us will enter Jannah? So she said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you a pretty and a beautiful wife like me, and I am observing that you are always grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this favor. You are always grateful. And I was to some extent unfortunate that I was not granted a very handsome husband. I was married to you, and sometimes within myself Shaitan puts doubts and he whispers and he brings all these wasabis that, oh, you are so pretty, you are so beautiful, you are so intelligent, and you are married to somebody like him, you should leave this person. So I tell my nafs and I counsel myself that no, accept him as he is and be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you so much in the hereafter. So I am constantly practicing sabr and you are constantly carrying out shukr. And these are the only two avenues and two doors through which a person enters Jannah. Because in this world either we are experiencing some blessing of Allah or we are experiencing some difficulty from Allah. Those who experience difficulty are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to practice patience. And those who experience the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are commanded to do shukr, to do sabr. Those who experience difficulty are commanded to do sabr. Those who experience happiness are commanded to do shukr. Those who do shukr will enter Jannah, those who do sabr will enter Jannah. So she said, Inshallah, both of us will be together in Jannah. So sisters, these are the two doors to Jannah, sabr and shukr. Practice sabr, practice shukr. Be grateful for what Allah has granted you. It is not something that you have to pretend to accept. It is a fact that what Allah has given us is much, 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 much more than what He has deprived us from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to follow His commands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your gathering here, your coming here. May Allah ta'ala accept this whole gathering of today, and may Allah make it a means of acquiring His nearness, and may Allah make it a means of salvation in both worlds. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.